Blog Talk Radio.
Going to focus on the other side of life, the important side of life, the part where we talk about the things that are so important to everyday life. We're going to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. So I'd like to welcome you to Sippy Talk. My name is Sippy Feldenstein. I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and most important, awareness. Sippy Talk is where we go from here to where we want to be. And today, where we want to be is with Martha Sternberger Returns. She returns because she was already here before. And if you want to hear what we talked about last time she was here, the link is posted right by the introduction, right below, along with all the other links to Martha's work. And I don't know, I'm hearing myself talk. I'm hearing echo. It's pretty bad. So Martha Sternberger works with Eurythmy. And to me, Eurythmy is a totally new toy that I've never heard about. And I'm laughing because I'm hearing an echo myself. And so the concept of it, the name Eurythmy, I've never heard of and what it stands for. A lot of what it stands for has been part of many, many different teachings. Okay, I'm going to try to do something. Yeah, this works now. I can not hear my echo. So my echo is pretty bad, and I'm not sure what the technical issue is here. So the founder or the person that actually came up with the concept is Rudolf Steiner, who was the original teacher. And I'm not exactly sure, but Martha is going to tell us about that. Martha is going to tell us about Eurythmy, about the movement, about the astrology, and about so many things that it stands for. And I think she can actually clarify it a lot better than I can. And so I would like to welcome Martha to Tippy Talk. And thank you so much for joining us, Martha. Are you there? So we're having a little bit of a technical issue here. So let me see One second.
Right as well.
Hi, Martha. Okay.
We couldn't hear you here.
For a while. You were silent. Thank you so much for joining us, Martha. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm really, really excited about it. You are like, it's kind of deceptive. You look like this person, but you have like enough for 20,000 people, enough energy and the things that you do, that I'm kind of a little bit overwhelmed. And the way I saw it before was like, Martha, I don't understand it. It's confusing. I don't understand it. But it's not that. It's that you have too much to say and you don't have the words to describe it. And I can understand that now, that you have to kind of express yourself through body movement, through energy fields and through different expressions, because words really don't do that much justice, do they?
No, they don't. You know, words are just markers of what we actually experience. And, you know, and sometimes it's difficult to find the right words and the right sentences to express spiritual insights.
Or spiritual phenomena, absolutely.
Yeah, or spiritual phenomena or spiritual experience. If I may just share one anecdote, which basically applies to what you were saying, and, you know, like this, how do we translate the spiritual phenomena and what we see spiritual in experience into the words? During my Eurythmy training at Eurythmy Spring Valley, we also, you know, we did movement training. It was esoteric training. But we also were trained in the art of speaking, which is another aspect that Rudolf Steiner brought forth. And, you know, as we were standing in a circle and doing different speech exercises, and then we were sharing things that we experienced, the teacher, you know, I was trying to express something, and I was aware of the process. I was aware of the things that were just ready to be expressed, and I was trying to really grasp the right word to say it out. And actually the teacher, Michael Steinruck, he actually saw that. He said, you're a perfect example of a person where you can actually see this process happening. because I really tried to connect and really tried to find the right word. And sometimes the words that come make sense to me, but they may not make sense to the people who are listening to me. So I have to continuously refine and kind of tune in into my experiences, into my knowledge, as well as into the energy field of the other, in order to because it's a really high vibration. We are basically condensing really high spiritual vibration out of spiritual, you know, experiences, phenomena, into the level of vibration where we can grasp it as human beings in this world. I enjoy the process. It's challenging, but it's exciting as well, you know, where you're expressing, and all of a sudden the other person gets it. You know, they see what I'm talking about, or they experience it. Sometimes, you know, the perception is not necessarily our regular intellect. Sometimes the perception happens in the physical body. It happens as an inspiration or intuition or imagination. And actually, you know, when you are reading Steiner, you know, anything about Steiner, he wrote so much. He developed the movement art of eurythmy. Eurythmy literally means harmonious movement. When you read about any spiritual wisdom that all these spiritual masters have written, you really need to use imagination. You really need to use a higher level of thinking, perception of thinking. That is, you know, Rudolf Steiner calls it picture thinking. So you're still dealing with reason and logic, but on a higher level. I hope I didn't lose anyone, like, with all of these talks.
Yeah, you lost some people, but that's okay. What I realized is, One of the things I realized, Marta, is really, you don't really have to get it. It's okay if you're lost. You just think about it, and you may not get it consciously, but maybe subconsciously you pick it up, so that somewhere along the line you'll be like, oh, yeah. Like, what really talked to me, and I told you, I was reading a lot about Rudolf Steiner, and because I'm trying to understand you. And so I read about his version of what is Lucifer and what he stands for. And that clicked. So it was so powerful for me because, you know, everybody has an idea. Everybody has a version. And, and it clicked so powerfully for me that when I fell asleep last night in my dream, I was held captive in a camp. But I didn't know I was held captive. And all of a sudden, I realized that I was held captive and I wanted to escape with my family. And some of them were little kids. And I realized also that I was the only one that can fly. So I flew out of there and then I came back to try to get the kids with me. But I found that when I try to fly and carry the children, I couldn't fly out with them. They weighed me down and I couldn't fly carrying them. Yeah. And so flying in a dream is very symbolic of freedom, of your soul traveling out of your body, and it's something that a lot of people have when they're very young, and then they lose it as they grow older. I used to fly every night when I was a kid, but now as an adult, I don't fly that often. But every time I get into a sticky situation in a dream, I always remember that I can fly. Yeah, I can escape this. I can just fly out of here. And so it was really, really powerful because the translation, it makes sense to me on a spiritual level. And you're really not always able to put thoughts into the proper words for them to be as powerful as you thought. And I know that as a writer, when I have a lot of words, my thoughts are so profound and the words seem so dense, just don't even do it any at all. And so... And so why don't you try to explain what is eurythmy first before you tell us how you found it?
Okay, I'll try. I'll do my best.
Yeah, so we'll try to explain eurythmy, then we'll try to figure out how you found it, and then we'll talk about how eurythmy connects to the astrology of a name. And then we have one person online that wants to have his name, so we'll use his first name to see what it says about him. And by then, I'm sure we're going to run over time already. So let's start with what is eurythmy?
Well, eurythmy is a harmonious movement art developed by Rudolf Steiner. The first exercise was given in 1912 in Munich, Germany. Eurythmy works with qi energy, to use Eastern term. But the term that Steiner uses is the etheric field. It's the field of life around us. It's almost like this sphere of energy. You know, like it's colored. Everybody has a different color. It's this field of breath around us, and that's what eurythmy works with. It's the same energy as Tai Chi. Tai Chi works with Qi energy or etheric field as well, and sometimes actually people see similarities, and I can see similarities between Tai Chi and eurythmy movement. Now, Tai Chi is a spiritual practice and martial art. It's a powerful practice. And eurythmy is also a spiritual practice, but it is a performance art. What eurythmy strives to do is to make sound visible. The sound of speech, either poetry, fairy tales, and the sound of music. So eurythmy moves the sound, does not move on the sound as in dance, but moves the sound. That's why the title of my website is Ha, which is breath. Ha moves. Breath moves. That's what really moves in eurythmy. There was another thought that I wanted to say, and it escaped me right now. Now, what attracted me to you, Ritmi? Well, actually, let me start from how I found it. I think it's going to make make things clearer.
Yeah. How did you find it, and then what is it about it that you caught on to?
Yeah. I was a dancer before. I started dancing with classical ballet when I was 7 years old back home. And I was doing that through the first couple of years of high school. Then my ballet teacher couldn't come to my tiny little town in Slovenia anymore. So then I did some ballroom dancing. Then I did some jazz classes in the capital of Slovenia, which is north part of former Yugoslavia. And then I said, well, I want to create. So I got together a few young people, including me, and I created some choreographies. So I started a dance company back home called Terpsihora, which is the muse of dance. And through that, I got in touch with the leaders of dance in Slovenia, and we attended different workshops by foreign teachers. And then step by step, these teachers saw a potential in me and said, well, if you're serious about dance, you need to go study abroad. So I first went to Paris, studied dance there, and then I came to the U.S., to New York, to study dance at the Alvin Ailey School. And I finished two or three-year professional dance program at the Alvin Ailey School. So I have a certificate of dance from Alvin Ailey. And there I fell in love with Martha Graham technique, another modern dance technique. And I went to their school, and after 2 years, I injured my knee. Really doing my favorite exercise, the pretzel exercise, I injured my knee. It was a huge shock for me, you know, not to be able to dance anymore. And then I was searching, and I did lots of yoga. I did some flamenco. I did five rhythms. I was really searching and searching because I am a dancer. And as Martha Graham says in her autobiography, you know, if you're a dancer, the dance is in your blood. You have to move. So I came into to the U.S. in 1992 to study dance at Alvin Ailey. And it took me till 2008, 16 years being in the dance world, searching to find out about Eurythmy. And I took my first class at the New York Open Center. And within a few minutes, I was in awe. I was like, wow, this is the dance movement that I have been searching for my whole life.
Wow.
Because all of a sudden, you know, the way the teacher brought it in, her name is Gail Langstroth. She's an American Eurythmy student, very accomplished. Occasionally she comes around and gives performances in the city. And what attracted me to it was that, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, there was a little click, so I thought that perhaps I lost you. Because all of a sudden, we were moving on poetry. I love poetry. We were moving five-pointed stars. I love geometry. All of a sudden, we were encouraged to be aware of the energy field around us, and I was just, oh, relieved that it's not all about my physical body, that there is more to my physical body than just the physicality of it, that there is a space around me which I can use to move. You know, I can sense and be aware of all dimensions behind me, in front of me. Then there was talk of, oh, you have wings. You know, we all have wings. They are invisible, you know, by regular physical standard, by Newtonian physics, they are invisible, but they are visible if you tune into the spiritual reality, you know, by quantum physics measures, yes, they are visible. And be aware of that, you know, include the energy field around you into your movement. And I was just, you know, because that's what I was missing. Even before I injured my knee, I felt that there is something more. I mean, in Martha Graham, there is this extra element that you really start from your center, especially with women. You know, you start from your, like, female center, you know, with the contraction and release and moving around. But I was missing it, but I was feeling I was trapped in a physical body that I wanted more. So then I found out that one of the best schools in the world for urethmy is just 1 hour north of New York, Urethmy Spring Valley in Rockland County. And so I started first part-time because I was a little bit anxious about my knee. I mean, my knee was fine at that time. But I was like, well, if I start moving, perhaps it's going to hurt, but it didn't. And, you know, I have to knock on the wood and my head. And it's still fine. So,
I have a few questions for you. First of all, now that you mentioned that you discovered that there was more energy, are you saying that before you found urethmy, you were not aware that there was a spiritual part of you? And also, what you're saying is that was the first time you found out that there was more to you than just your physical body?
No, I was aware that I'm more than my physical body since, well, I had my first spiritual, very powerful spiritual experience when I was 3 years old, and my mother can attest to it. I had spiritual experiences all the time. I was fully aware that I'm more, but I had to cut that off each time I was doing modern dance. I couldn't include it in. I mean, to a certain extent, yes, but only very little of it I was able to use, and there were no tools to help me how to incorporate all of that, like the bigger part of me, how to incorporate that into the movement. So that was what I was missing. How can I move my whole sense of who I am? As I said, each time I was moving, yes, I was interested in fine-tuning my physical muscles and expression and imagination. But that's as much as it would go. I had to cut off the rest of me. In urethmy, I can be my whole self. You know, all the levels of me, you know, the more I incorporate all the levels, I mean, and according to Steiner, there are 7 levels of who we are, which doesn't necessarily fully coincide with chakras. It's actually larger than that. All of a sudden, I'm able to move if I'm really into, you know, if I really nicely practice, I am able to move with my whole wings. I'm able to move, you know, with my highest self. I'm able to move with my angels. I'm able to move with I'm able to enclose the whole audience, the huge audience into the movement. I can become music. And, you know, when we were performing in Dornach, at the end of our 4-year training, there is a conference in Dornach where all the graduating classes from all urethmy schools around the world gather, and we all share our work. So we were performing at the Gotheanum, which is the center of anthroposophy. It's a huge stage, and actually where Steiner was also speaking and, you know, teaching and all of that. So we were moving. We were 5 of us. We had a choreography on a Dvorak trio for piano, cello, and violin. We had awesome musicians. And I was moving violin in a yellow, in a bright yellow dress. And, you know, I am not young. I mean, I turned 50 this year, so 2 years back.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, 2 years back, I was 48, and I am moving, you know, on this remarkable stage. And our whole class was slightly older, but most of other urethmists there who were participating, they were in their 20s. And after the performance, they were all these young urethmists, like, you know, running after me, congratulating me on the way I moved violin in that piece. And I was, you know, because once you really tune into the vibration of the sound, and music is a really high vibration, when you tune into it, you know, you look, and I've seen it with other eurythmics, all of a sudden the age disappears. All of a sudden you don't move your physical body. You move your whole essence, and that's what comes true. And, you know, yes, when you have good dance performers or any performers, that happens. You know, the thing is that, you know, I have to underline that, you know, what I see as a difference between, let's say, dance training and eurythmic training is that in dance, we start with the physical body, right? You train your physical body, and then slowly, and especially when you start performing, you know, you become aware of more than just the physical body, and you start incorporating it, and to some degree, there is guidance at that really high professional level, but very often it's actually individual by him or herself develops this connection with their wings or with their bigger field. So that's why you can have, you know, Baryshnikov just step on the stage and everybody starts applauding because of his energy, right? Mm-hmm. But it happens later. And I saw it also when I was helping. I was helping with the costumes for the Martha Grand at one of their seasons, and I saw lots of performances, and I saw that there as well, how, like, you know, how the top dancers, they were tapping into that larger field around it. Where, so basically in dance, you start with physical, and then if, you know, like some people can tap into the higher energies when they start performing and when they perform a lot. Whereas in Eurythmy, you start with the periphery. You start with the knowledge that you are more than your physical body. And then you practice so that you find that you tune into that huge bubble of life energy, and out of that you move your physical body. So, you know, what the audience sees directly, it is a physical movement, and eurythmics normally wear very thin silk veils so that then you can start seeing that the energy moves. And, you know, when you are more open, you can actually see way more than that. You can actually see the flow of feel. I mean, if you don't see it, you feel the flow of energy, and it's a very harmonizing energy. So in eurythmy, you start, you know, the difference in dance, you start with your physical center. In eurythmy, you start with your whole self.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that you're very passionate about it, and I can definitely see that you found a home. When you found this eurythmy, you found a home, mm-hmm. because yep. you can so passionately relate to it. Is this what is the difference? You know how some people do energy healing, like Debbie? Is mm-hmm. that kind of similar to what eurythmy taps into? Somehow connected?
Yes.
It is. It is the same thing.
Because you are working with the same energies. It's just that in when you do the healing work, you know, you basically you know, when you are the recipient of the healing work as a patient, right? You know, you are basically just either standing or lying or sitting, and you're open to receive. And the practitioner, you know, like, is open as well to channel this healing energy through and guide it through to the patient. In eurythmy, you're actually learning to tap into that energy, into that healing energy by yourself.
Which makes it a lot more powerful.
Makes it, yeah. I mean, it's not easy to learn, but it makes it powerful, yes.
Right. So that's how you started with it, and obviously you can relate to it, and obviously you're never going to stop. There's no question about that.
No, my mission in life is to bring eurythmy into the world. You know, eurythmy, you know, has been, you know, practiced, you know, for 100 years. But it has been secluded in anthroposophical circles, in Euritmy schools, in Waldorf education. In Waldorf education, Euritmy is used as a pedagogical tool to help children develop properly. And, you know, it is known that Waldorf graduates, you know, it's pre-K to 12th grade, that Waldorf graduates are actually very successful in the world because
when you're talking about Waldorf graduates, you're talking about Waldorf schools. There's high schools, Waldorf high schools, which they have a different method of teaching. Is that what you're talking about? Because
yes.
I think I went to one of those classes. Yeah, I went to one of those schools for my daughter when she was in high school trying to enroll her in Waldorf. So that's where I heard it from, because when you kept saying it, I was like, Waldorf sounds so familiar. But that's a common name. Where did I hear it? Yeah, they have high schools and they have a different way of approaching education completely, completely different.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, yes, great. So that brings us to the next step, which is how is Euritmy connected to the name astrology that you do, which is totally amazing.
Thank you. Well, as I said before, Euritmy moves the sounds of speech and sounds of music. Now, if we focus on speech, on poetry, there are consonants and there are vowels when you speak in any language. Now, when we were trained, we were also taught that vowels are the gift to humanity by the planet. And consonants are the gift to humanity from stars. And in the third year of training, it's a four-year intense movement and esoteric training. In the third year of training, we are introduced to the planetary circle and to the connection of the vowels with the planets, including the colors. So, you know, I'll just go through, you know, you can get the zodiac and the planetary wheel on my website, the hamoves.net. I write about this. But I'll just give you a demonstration for the vowels, because there are less of them. The vowel A, and it goes by the sound, not by the way it's spelled. So the sound A, it's a gift from Venus, and the color of Venus is green. The sound E, it's a gift from Mercury, and the color of Mercury is yellow. The sound I is the gift from the moon, and the color of moon is purple. The sound E, it's a gift from Mars, and the color of Mars is red. The sound O, it's a gift from Jupiter, and the color of Jupiter is orange. The sound U, it's a gift from Saturn, and the color of Saturn is indigo blue. And the sound AU, it's a gift from the sun, and the color of sun is white. So, you know, so that's example for the planetary circle. Now, for the consonants, I'm not going to go through all the connections with the consonants.
No, you don't have enough time to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But then with consonants, each consonant, it's a gift from a different zodiac constellation. For example, my name is Marta. The sound M, it's a gift from Aquarius. The sound R, in English, is the gift from Taurus.
But actually,
and
before go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the sound T, I just want to finish that one. And the sound T, it's the gift from Leo. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that sounds really interesting, but and when it connects in a really interesting way. I'm not sure how the connection really happened, but we happen to have Robert on the line here, and I put him on mute. I'm going to turn on his microphone in case he wants to say something. So I'm wondering if you take the name Robert, and okay. he connects you to the sounds of the vowels and the synonym. What would Robert, and he calls himself Robert, maybe Rob, maybe Bob, I don't know. I'm assuming it's Robert. Robert, if you call yourself Bob or Rob, then let me know. But I think he called himself Robert. And I'm going to mute him because he's way too loud. There's way too much noise there. So,
okay, good.
So let's. So how would the name Robert connect that way?
Okay.
Between
so,
the planets.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for listening. So I will take it as Robert. You know, it's because if that's your birth name, that's your birth name. So if you're not using the name Robert fully as the name by which
I
you're
think
called,
he's using
which...
the name. Yeah, I think
okay,
he's using
good.
The name Robert. Robert, if you can.
I do.
Robert, do you? You do. Okay, yeah, he does. He
okay.
the name Robert.
Well, that's always good. I mean, unless well, never mind. I mean, when I did the whole reading,
it, yeah.
We can tap into the so Robert. Now the way this works, you have to imagine, and I'm going to go through this and then I'll explain what it is. You have to imagine that you are standing in the middle of a zodiac circle, and behind you, it's the constellation of Cancer, the height of summer. In front of you is constellation of Capricorn, the depth of winter. To your right is spring, and to your left is autumn. So, Robert, you stand in the middle, you always face forward for this exercise. So you, the shape of the name, because you also, you know, you also move this, I also use the principles of how we move in space, you know, to assess the reading. So Robert would have to move slightly diagonally backwards to the position of Taurus first, which is a R is Taurus. Then out of that, out of R, he would have to walk the horizontally across to B is Virgo. So we have R, Taurus, horizontally across to B, Virgo, and then back to R, Taurus, and out of that, slightly diagonally backwards to T, Leo, raw bird. What that means is that R, I see R as ability to manifest. If you imagine the time of Taurus is the time, it's May. It's when everything is blossoming. You know, that's people who have R have the ability to bring things to blossom. Now, Robert also then brings in, you know, is able to connect the blossoming to the harvest. Because Virgo is the time in September where we already have the harvest. And Bo and Robert, or people who have Bo in their names, are connected to divine feminine. Virgo is the only feminine zodiac sign. And it manifests in different ways. I mean, what I'm talking right now, it's really the high positive manifestation. And, you know, when I do individual readings, I also look at the negative aspects of it and how, you know, like how we can balance that. So then, so Robert, like, is good at manifesting, you know, at blossoming. He's also good at collecting the harvest. And once he collects the harvest, he actually brings that to the next stage of blossoming, until he goes to turn to Leo to really shine.
So, Robert, are you a good collector? I think Robert might be a good collector.
I think so.
I think you hit it right on the nail. Yeah. He's a great collector of harvest.
Oh, very good. Now, the thing is that I have known Roberts who appear very, you know, demure at the first sight. You know, they don't necessarily appear as this, you know, like shining beacons.
Which they are.
Which they are. But, you know, like it can manifest in different way. Like one Robert I have in mind, you know, he is very kind of like, you know, demure, calm, very, you know, very gentleman. But he is able to manifest and he respects women. And, you know, when he starts talking, you know, you could see his energy and passion come out, and he shines. But he's not, you know, he's using these energies in a holistic way, because you can also use this three energy of manifesting, of harvesting and shining. You know, Leo is really shining, right? You can also manifest it and use it in a negative way. Because, you know, like when if Robert stands in the middle and faces forward, and then, you know, the shape of the movement, which becomes movement meditation also, it's slightly diagonally back, as I said before, and then across horizontal, and then back horizontal, and further back up. So he is actually watching the other half of the zodiac circle all the time. He is fully connected. You know, his wings need to be open and sensitive to the support of the spiritual world. Now, there is another way of moving, which is, instead of trusting the spiritual world to support you to go backwards, you can just turn around and follow your nose. Go for that for that prize. Turn around. Go for that money. Turn around. Go for another prize. Turn around and shine, and just use your elbows and just force it through. And, you know, and so that's the negative aspect of the name Robert. So, and, you know, each name has negative and positive aspects. The key really is that we learn how to stand upright and be aware of our six dimensions. I know it sounds very esoteric, but it's very straightforward. Six dimensions are what's in front of us, what's behind us, what's above us, what's below us, what's to our right, and what's to our left. Those are our six dimensions, and heart is at the center. So if we can be aware when we walk through life of these six dimensions, then our heart can open and we can connect with each other and we can be aware of each other. And that's why, you know, I do this when I do readings. I actually draw the path, and I you also can get a free meditation for the zodiac and planetary circle. You know, it's really about, you know, like, do this exercise, moving your name in space, facing forward with the awareness of six dimensions. You know, like, just calm it. It becomes a movement meditation that, you know, when you then go around, you know, like, your day and do your tasks, you know, that balancing energy that you have established for in five minutes will actually go with you. And, you know, you can actually work a lot with this. I know that, you know, when I move my name, it's when I first started doing that, which was in my fourth year of training, and I moved my name, I was like, oh my God, now I understand why I feel the way I feel in certain situations. Yeah. Because all of a sudden you become aware. It is a kind of like this healing, harmonizing meditation. And even if nothing comes up when you move it, you still harmonize yourself, because that's the power of the movement. When you invite the stars that are shining of the periphery all the time, when you invite them into your life by consciously speaking and moving your name.
Wow. That is so powerful.
Can I ask something? Robert, did it make any sense?
Wait, he wants to ask you something, Martha.
Yeah, go ahead,
Robert.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Martha, it makes a lot of sense. And what I want to know is, if you change your name to use maybe your nickname,
like Rob or Bobby?
Yes. How would that change your perspective or how
your
people
energy.
Read you
mm-hmm.
and energy?
Right. Well, you know, but there are two aspects to it, right? And I'm going to go with a little bit more unusual aspect, and then I'm going to go to the common aspect. The more unusual aspect is some people feel very, very strongly that they want to change their name, completely change their name. And I always caution them, you know, really, really carefully think it through. And for some people, you know, maybe they accomplished their purpose in life that comes through the name already, so they need another name, right? But then the more common way of changing the
You're breaking up, Martha. You're breaking up.
I'm the same position. It's just there's all of a sudden there's lots
of wind. I put Robert on mute, so hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So one thing that I didn't address with Robert is the vowels. So we have O and A. So Ra, O, it's Jupiter. It's benevolent leadership. So Robert is a leader. Robert.
He's a leader.
Robert. So it's a combination of O and A. So you have Mars, perseverance, and leadership in there as well. I forgot to do that. Now, if we use a nickname, let's say Rob, so all of a sudden you cut out the re-blossoming. So basically, you know, if you blossom, you harvest, then you just stay with that harvest. You don't do anything with that harvest. You don't use it to blossom again. You're still a leader, or you're still there. There is no A in there anymore. So the perseverance may be lacking with the Rob. But sometimes, depending on the rest of the name, of the full name, of the last name, of the middle name, of the birth chart, you know, sometimes perhaps that is needed. I mean, somebody who has too much already, you know, or too much ra already, maybe they just want to breathe and just be raw. Now, if it's raw B, all of a sudden you add the sound of E, which is Mercury and communication, and perhaps that is needed, or maybe it's superfluous. You know, it really depends on the whole picture. Bob or Bobby, again, you have O for leadership, but then you focus on the harvest. You focus on the harvest, you focus on divine feminine more. And, you know, it really depends from person to person. For some people, you need that extra trust in the feminine energies in order to do your purpose in life. You know, and for some people that may be, you know, like taking away from who you need to be. So, you know, it's it depends on person to person. It depends on the whole chart, as I said, full name, last name, middle name, first name, and the birth chart. So I always look at in conjunction, and you know, like of the whole aspect of who the person is. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me, but he's on mute, so let me unmute him and see if he wants to respond. He's a very noisy person, Robert.
It does.
No, he's not a noisy person. He is charming.
In a noisy environment.
You know?
it makes a lot of sense, and a lot of times what I'll do personally is people ask me what they prefer me to call them or have them call me. And
right.
I'll tell them whatever you want is fine.
Exactly, yeah.
And what it does is it gives me feedback of how they're reading me.
Exactly.
And interesting.
Yes,
yep.
So
if
somebody calls me Bobby, I get a feeling that they're seeing me as very bubbly and jubilous. And if they get more serious with Robert,
female loving, Bobby, female loving, so you know all of that. Sorry,
so it's like an instant feedback as to how that person's reading you. What's your opinion on that?
Yes, I agree with that. You know, if you want to get a sense of how you come across, that's a good tactic. But then, you know, but I would use it as only as such. You know, to get a sense of how the person perceives you, so then you can work with them on their level. But I would not do it otherwise. You know, it's not because you know we need to be careful not to bend too much to please the other person, right? You also need to be true to who you truly are. If you feel that you're Robert, you know, that's something that needs to be honored. But as I said, if you feel that in order to reach across to a particular person, it's better if you adjust to their level, you know, that's fine too. But just don't do it too much, because all of a sudden, you know, if you imagine that you're standing in your own column of light, your own individual column of light that connects you to your highest self and connects you to the earth. And then, you know, if you lean forward to connect with others, it's good to lean forward as long as you don't lose the balance. Because if you lean too much forward, if it's always, oh, you like to call me Robbie, so call me Robbie, then you're only on your knees all of a sudden and you are not true to yourself. You know, as human beings, it's not easy. You know, we want love. We want to be accepted. We want to be appreciated. And sometimes we fall on our knees in order to reach that. But the thing is that the only person who can give us the sense of who we are, of our true worth, of true love, is actually ourselves. It doesn't mean, you know, so like standing in the column of light, leaning forward without losing balance, to connect with others, leaning backward without losing balance to connect with the spirit around you, that's fine. But when you fall on your knees, you know, you're losing something. On the other hand, some people are also in, you know, like they are in their column of light, but, you know, they build these towers around them so nobody can reach them. We don't want that either. It's standing in the column of light, being pliable and resilient and open. I went a little further with that, but I hope it makes sense.
Yes. I hope Robert got it. Robert, did you get it?
I concur.
Thank you.
So yeah. So we're all concurred here. That's really fascinating, because you were able to tap into Robert's personality just by reading the name. And what you're saying is, you said something last time that we talked, that every time he says the name, he invokes that energy. So
right.
The question, you know, so what came first, the chicken or the egg? Does he keep saying his name and that invokes the energy of who he is? So when he stops saying that name, the energy changes? Or did he already have that in him and that's why he was given that name? Does it really matter?
Well, you know, I think there are two things, or actually there are three things in there. Number one is, you know, people often ask, what's the difference between the regular astrology and, you know, my approach?
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it is that the stars and planets that were present at the moment of your birth, they are always there for you. And they always shine on you from the periphery. But when your name is spoken, speech, it's a physical reality. Right? So through the sound of speech, you bring the energies of these stars and planets into the real life so that you can work with them in a more concrete way. So that's one part of your question. The second part of your question is, well, actually, let me do that. I'm thinking, you know, there are two parts left, and I'm trying to think which one I want to say first. Actually, I'm going to say the other one first. I believe in reincarnation. I believe that, well, believe, no. I know that, well, I'm going to say believe. otherwise.
Well, you believe in reincarnation. Is mm-hmm. is comprehensible. Like, we can understand that.
Okay,
you may not believe, you may think it's a different word, which it probably is, but you believe in reincarnation. Not everybody does,
yes.
but the people that do understand that.
Yeah. So I believe in reincarnation. I also believe that we plan our life before we are born, you know, with our angels and spiritual guides. Now, most of the time, you know, we know what our last name will be when we are born. Not in every circumstance, but most of the time we know what our last name will be. So, you know, so we kind of like choose parents, you know, like so that our last name becomes the blueprint of who we are. Now then, we also whisper the idea for our first name to our parents, to people who will give us the name, you know, we whisper, you know, this is how I want to be called. And sometimes they hear it and sometimes they don't. So in a way, you know, that's you know, like that's part of the answer to your question, right? And then when mm-hmm. you're actually, when that's the question, whether chicken or the egg. So basically I answered that, but also
right.
when you start saying the sounds, you know, when you start saying, my name is Marta or Marta, you know, I bring that in. So it, in a way, it's a connection to yourself before you were born. In a way, it's an affirmation of your purpose. I know it's a lofty thing, and you know some people may not. I'm sure many people will disagree, because you know when we have parents that you know are making our life hard, you know it's difficult to see that, and I completely understand. But there is something about it. You know, there is more to life than just getting up in the morning, you know, and going around, you know, doing work and getting a paycheck. There is more to life.
Well, you're saying there's more to life than our physical existence.
And really,
I think that's an awakening that is really happening on a grand scale right now on the planet. I think more and more people are realizing it. There are still some, maybe a lot of people that live here that think this is it, this is the beginning and the end, but there is an awakening. So for people yep. that are awake, this is important. For people who think that doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist. I mean, you can't argue about something that doesn't exist. But you mentioned a few things that I want to point out that is really powerful. The Hebrew language, which is a very, mm-hmm. very powerful symbolic language. It encompasses yep. really, if you really look at it, every language is almost originates from Hebrew. And the word yep. ha, which you mentioned before, because you use ha in front of your website, means the, T-H-E. And that's a very powerful connection between ha, website, ha, this means the. And that, it's like you're pointing a finger at it. So it's a very mm-hmm. powerful thing all around.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing that I wanted to mention.
Thank you.
And then another question I have for you, which has nothing to do with anything, but do you know where knock on wood comes from?
Somebody told me at one point, and I don't remember. I mean, it's you know, like that's just something that, you know, it's a pagan tradition. It's a mm-hmm. a folk tradition. You know, I grew up with it. You know, in Slovenian we say, do we say? We actually say literal translate. You know, literally. If I literally translate. Now I don't remember whether we say knock on the wood or do we say knock on the wall. Oh, my Slovenian friends, if you're listening to me, come on, you know, like type in somewhere, you know, let me know.
Okay, well, let me tell you I
do think it's the same. Knock on the wood.
I think it's
and normally
the same.
We knock on our head, you know, because you know.
is it a heavy Catholic influenced region? Where you come from?
Slovenian is Catholic. It's 95%, I think, Catholic, Roman Catholic. But it also has strong Celtic origins, and it has very strong pagan origins. You know.
So basically, the knock on wood comes from Catholics, and where it originally, when they originally started knocking on wood, was when they hung Christ on the cross, on a wooden cross, and everybody in town, for good luck, they would go over to the cross and they would knock on it. And that's where it originally came from, the idea of knocking on wood, which I thought was really powerful, because if you notice, people that are in a very heavy Catholic region, they use it a lot. They use it the most.
Yeah.
But most people use it, they don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I don't know
that part. But I guess it's almost like, you know, if you knock on the wood of Christ's cross,
right.
it's almost as if you're right. calling, you know, Christ,
Him.
Hear me, you know, connect
exactly.
with me, help me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
makes sense.
Basically,
yeah.
you would then be tapping into the energy of the resurrected Christ, because mm-hmm. that's what, in a way, the. Well,
yeah, I only
let's
mentioned
not get
this
into, go into that.
Yeah. I only mentioned it because you say that kind of word. But that
yeah,
was
well,
fascinating, Martha. That was really fascinating. You're fascinating. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I was having such a good time, I didn't even realize we were running out of
time.
So, of course. So, what I'd like
well,
to do
before
we... Well, it's
difficult to shut me up, you know.
Yeah. No. We don't want to shut you up. We just want to control you. So...
No, that's even worse. No. Let's just follow the schedule, you know, and cooperate. Yes, I know it's over time.
No, yeah. Schedule is important. Definitely it's important to stay with the schedule. So before we get cut off here, what I would mm-hmm. like you to tell us is where we can find you, what you're offering. We have all the links to all your websites right here below, so we don't have to worry about it. But where mm-hmm. can someone find you if they want to work with you? What are you offering right now? And to people that are in your vicinity, like New York City and the boroughs, and what are you offering to people who are not physically in contact with you?
Well, for people who are within New York City, I offer Eurythmy classes, public Eurythmy classes. It's a weekly class every Thursday at 12:15 for 1 hour at the Edgar Cayce Center in Chelsea, and then once a month, and it's this coming Wednesday, actually, October 26th, at 7 o'clock. It's an hour and a half class. We work with poetry and piano music. This time we will work with a piece of from Mozart and Bach, and that's at Balance Arts Center, also in Chelsea. And you can find all this information if you click on my Eurythmy website. The link is right below, hamove.net, and just go under events. And, you know, there is a link also then, you know, to register. So it's Eurythmy classes. And then I'm a member of Match My Spirit Network, and they are live events, different variations of bazaars and fairs, where you can come and I can speak with you directly. I can give you the sample reading of your first name. Mm-hmm. And now, then, if you want to get full reading, then you can, we do it online. You know, you give me the information, I create a chart for you, and, you know, I explain what it is, and then we have 40-minute phone consultation or Skype consultation, and that's offered across the globe, you know, because, you know, with internet and Skype, you know, I can speak with anybody, either here or in Australia. So that's Dynamic Name Mandala, also on my website. You can check it out to get the full reading. If you're in New York City, you know, sometimes we can arrange to meet in person for the full reading as well. The other thing that I am working on diligently right now, you know, my gnomes and fairies and angels, I'm putting together Soulful Sparks Calendar 2017. It's a meditative calendar, and it's coming out of my weekly blog, which is regularly featured. Every week it's featured in 5 sections of the Huffington Post. So the calendar is coming out in the middle of November. So if you want to stay tuned, you know, just, you know, go to one of my websites and sign up as a subscriber, and then you'll get 20% off the hardcover edition. And then I offer blogs, free blogs, and free meditations. So you have EAO meditation, which is a meditation that helps you establish the sense of your 6 dimensions, basically, upright, front, back, left, right. You get that for free, and you also get the zodiac and planetary drawing and meditation for free if you sign up to my newsletters. That's about it, I guess. I think it's
a lot. Yeah, that's a lot, and that's definitely enough. And you do make yourself accessible. We do appreciate that, and we really thank you so much for joining us today, because you definitely can take my breath away. I can talk to you for another hour, because I have over here another 10 questions, but I don't think I'm ever going to finish with that. So we're going to have to wrap it up right now, but thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for going through it. It's totally, totally fascinating, and you're right. I totally agree. It's definitely where we headed to the future. There's no other way to go other than to the spiritual realm, because otherwise the only other option is self-destruction, and that ain't happening.
No, that's not the choice we go after. We want eternal life and accomplishment. Thank you so much, Tippi, for inviting me, for inviting me back. I'm really honored, and I enjoy sharing what I love. So, thank you
yes,
so much.
And it comes through. The passion definitely comes through to you, and thank you for returning. We loved every second of it. And now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippi Talk, and it has been wonderful chatting with you, Marta Stenberger.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tippi Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time